So today, as I said earlier, is our AGM, and so I thought I'm going to step away from 1 Peter just for opportunity to have a bit of a shorter message. Hopefully it'll be short. So I can't guarantee that, but I have worked a shorter message out here, okay? Oh, I would like somebody, Wilson, can you do me a favor? Can you turn the lights off? Because I want you to see some of the slides, and they don't show up very well. It's not going to be dark, it's just going to be kind of church sanctuary dark, okay? So the gym lights will be off there. So that's okay? So you'll see a little bit clearer some of the pictures and things that I've got on the slides. So I want to give a bit of attention to a scripture that I feel has a lot to say to us as a church as we prepare for our AGM, but also as we look into this year. And it's a challenge, it's an encouragement, but also a challenge as we step into the future. So I want to read this morning first, our Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Now, I'm going to focus on the last verses of that, but I want to read the whole part of this introduction to this letter. So listen as I read. If you have a Bible with you, or if you have an app on your phone or a tablet, you can just open it up to that. Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 3, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in ministry. You have been my partners in ministry in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ returns. And so it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Jesus Christ. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. The word of the Lord. So the Apostle Paul in writing this, I'm going to put that verse up because that's where we're going to focus this morning. The Apostle Paul, in writing this letter to a church, he has a great deal of affection for them. There's a lot of history. This church started with a group of people, a group of ladies who were worshiping God near the river in Philippi. There was no real evidence of Christian witness in that community, and yet there was this group that was meeting together for prayer. And this led to a baptism. It led to a girl being delivered from demonic possession. Then there was a beating and imprisonment. You know, all kinds of things that happened in church planting work. You know, they were beat. They were imprisoned. They were sitting in prison in locks and stocks and singing praises to God. And then an earthquake came, and the jailer was afraid for his life, and so he was ready to kill himself. And then before you know it, Paul steps up, hey, don't do that, we're still here. And he leads him and his whole household to Christ. They're baptized. I mean, talk about church planting 101. Paul and Silas are led out of prison, and eventually they are led out of the city. A church has been established, and it's left in good hands. Now, Paul is writing this letter to this church. He is thanking them for their generosity, and while he's at it, he's adding some encouraging words to his letter to help them sort through the things that they are going through, things that Paul had heard, and he wanted to encourage them, to help them carry on to see that work that had been started, to see it finished. As I said, I'm going to focus on the verses 9 to 11, which are posted here behind me. And you're probably wondering, what are all those colorful post-it notes on the chairs in front of us? Well, I hope you haven't taken them and already scrawled on them, because we're going to use them in a few moments. Now, I know we added a couple rows at the back, so you're going to have to find some over here if we need them. That in a few moments. But first of all, The church in Philippi is making a very real difference. They are partnering together with Paul, and they are seeing a change take place in their community. Their lives have been changed by the gospel, and they are allowing this gospel, this transformation, they're allowing it to spill over into their community in different ways. As Paul reflects on this in this letter and throughout the letter, he is thankful. And this sense of joy that Paul has he's excited about what he sees and what he has heard about taking place in Philippi. And it's really the huge motivation behind his opening prayer. And the prayer starts with this: I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep growing in knowledge and in understanding. Their love, Paul is praying, he's praying that this love that is already spilling over would overflow, would spill over more and more. It's already being expressed in their generosity, in faithfulness, and in perseverance as they bear witness to Christ in their pagan city. Now, Paul affirms this, and he prays that this love that they have experienced would overflow more and more. And in the same way that Paul encourages the Philippian church to be confident in this partnership that God started and promised to complete, he now encourages them to deepen this love factor, to let this love that they've experienced, let it overflow more and more. He is thankful for their relationship. He is thankful for what he is seeing, but there's still a need, he sees, that there's still room for growth. Sometimes, and in Philippi there's no exception, there are problems. There's issues in a church, and there, as Paul has heard about Philippi, he heard about disunity, divisions, grumbling, and even arguing. All little pictures or examples of the lack of love. And so that happens whenever people are together in relationship. And so Paul says, oh, come together and let this love. He prays that this love would overflow, for a deepening of this love, that it would overflow more and more. One of the best prayers that we can pray for each other is for continual spiritual growth and for progress, for a deepening of this love factor, for a deepening of this love in our lives, and that our love would overflow, as Paul says, more and more. Because without love, no Christian is spiritually complete. You hear that? When we don't have love, if we only have just kind of a scratching the surface kind of love, that's just the beginning. Christianity, our faith in Christ, our walk in Christ, our walking after the example of Christ is rooted and founded in love. A love that is mature, not just a surface relationship, but the kind of relationship that God invites each one of us into. The kind of love where the Father just loves on us so that it just so pours out of our lives in our other relationships. Love must be intelligent, morally discerning. Growing love is really a sign of maturity, and it moves beyond the feeling to the knowing and the understanding of what to do. That's what Paul's talking about, that your love would abound more and more in knowledge and in understanding. God, give us that kind of love that is overflowing, full of understanding and knowledge. Understanding the source, understanding that God is our source, and then knowing the best way to let that love flow out of our lives to those around us. Paul is thankful for the start that they had made in Philippi, and he is confident that God will carry it on to completion, and he is encouraging them, stay on course, and he prays that they would know what really matters, that they would not stumble or lose their resolve, and so that they would bring praise and glory to God. And so, as a church, when we do an AGM, it's kind of like the business part of the church, but there's also this sense as well that we have an opportunity to be encouraged as we step forward into the future, as we review and we reflect, but we also are challenged and encouraged for what God has for us as a church. Our vision as a church is expressed with this phrase: as broken people loved by God, we are seeking to experience the fullness of his love so that it overflows into our world. Now, as a church, we are committed to God's mission, and the mission is stated just above the vision because really we are committed to the mission that God has called his church and his people everywhere to pursue him, to pursue God, to get to know God, to experience him, to let his love and let our lives be fully surrendered to him. That's what it means to pursue God together. And then we are also committed to see lives transformed, to experience changed lives ourselves and invited by God to partner with him to see that transformation take place in our ever-widening circles, whether it's in our families or in our work or in our schools or in our communities in Canada or different parts of the world. Our vision tries to take the big picture of what God is calling his people to, inviting his people into everywhere. Our vision tries to focus in and to give us a clearer picture, a picture that we can lay a hold of and that we can then see take place in our lives and in our church. We admit as a people that we are in need of a Savior. We need to know God. We need to experience his love in our lives. And God meets us by his grace. That's the amazing thing about a walk and a relationship with God is that in our weakness and in our stumbling and fumbling and even in our brokenness, that God comes through Jesus Christ by grace, unearned, undeserved. He comes and he pours his love into our lives, bringing healing and restoration. We don't always understand what that looks like or even feels like. Sometimes it's a scripture that comes to mind. Sometimes it's a song that we're reminded of. Sometimes it's a sense that we are not alone, where we sense that we're not walking this journey alone and on our own. And sometimes it's a simple knowing that God is with us. There are so many ways that God's love is made real to us. And the truth is that many of us and many of those ways are experienced in and through this shared community. How often it is that we experience God's love as an expression of the community that he has called us into. The people, the friends, the brothers and sisters in Christ who become that expression of God's love to us. One of the challenges and obstacles that we talk about from time to time as a board is the reality that we live in a world that is increasingly fractured. We live in a world where people are running at high speed. You know what I mean? Running here, running there, taking care of this and doing this, feeling the expectation and the weight of all kinds of things going on and being a part of everything, lest we miss something. And our world, in so many ways, is fractured. And people are trying to keep a handle on a lot of stuff. I mean, I look at this group of people, and I know that you lead busy lives. And I know that you are trying to keep a handle on a lot of stuff. And alongside this reality, there is a deep desire for something that is real. There is a hunger. There is something in our spirits, something, a longing deep within us that says, you know what? I want something real. I want something tangible, a love, a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning, a sense of hope that the things that I'm doing and that I'm engaging my life in, investing my life in, that it actually has some value beyond just getting through the day. That's a reality in our world. And, you know, in younger generations as well as older generations, it's big issues on people's minds these days. We've just come through an election, and a lot of those issues were somewhat talked about or not talked about or talked about a lot. It's different perspectives for sure, but I mean, there are big issues. People are talking about and concerned about climate change. They're talking and concerned about our economy, about social issues like LGBTQ+, and issues about justice. And the list goes on. There are things that are deeply concerned in people's hearts. What does it look like for God's love to be real and tangibly present in the midst of sorting through these things, these kinds of big things? So there's a sense of realness, a real practical, tangible way to address the issues, the concerns that are in our hearts and lives amidst the fracturing, amidst the busyness, amidst the just looking to, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to address this. Where does God's love become real and practical for each one of us? It's not another program, another item to add to a schedule or a calendar just for the sake of doing it. But friends, I believe that we are all part of this journey, part of this journey. And we need God. And we experience Him in this shared journey. As I said early, how many times have we experienced God's love through a brother or sister, a friend coming alongside us and just being there, just being present in the midst of a complicated situation, through a prayer or through a thought, something shared and expressed. It's in community. We are in this together. And a church is a place or the community where by God's grace, we are able to experience God's love and where we see it spill out of our individual lives into the lives of others. That's the core of the vision that we believe God has called us to as a church and that we are living out, that as broken people, we experience God's love. And oftentimes we experience that love through one another in community. And as we experience it, that it would overflow, that it would spill over into our world. And so I want to just take a few moments and just think about how has love been overflowing more and more through our witness as King's Community Church this past year. So you can't really see, well, you can see the vision there in red, but I want to talk a little bit about connect. The three pillars, connect, grow, and serve. Connections. Those are things that are often opportunities that we have to love, to care, and to deepen relationship, to pray and to serve. Often what happens in our connecting times, and here's one of our meals together, it's amazing what happens in those connecting times through connection that needs are shared, life stories are passed on one from another. We find out about what things are going in a very casual way over a cup of coffee or over a shared meal. Sometimes it's over a New Year's Eve party, just kind of hanging out because, well, I don't want to be alone on New Year's Eve, and so let's just hang out together. An expression of love, fostering connections with one another, growing hospitality in our church. Sometimes it looks like playing games together or just having a coffee, a chat over a table. Those are all different opportunities to connect and really overflow, spilling over of the love of God. Sometimes it looks like a group of ladies getting together for coffee. Guys, we need to take a picture too so we can include our coffee times, our breakfasts together. Because it's in those connecting moments where lives are transformed, where God's love is overflowing. We experience it and it is overflowing to others. Another mealtime or just a movie night or whatever it is that looks like. And so here's where I want to start to encourage you. You know, I should have done this earlier. My bad. I got some markers, a whole box full of them. Can you just pass them around and take one, because you're going to need one, because I'm going to need you to write on these sticky tabs. So as we talk about connect and just fostering connection, I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you this question. What would it look like to see God's love overflow more and more in our connecting with one another? The blue sticky tab that's on the chair in front of you. I want to invite you to take it. And I want to invite you to answer that question and write it down. Later on, we're going to gather them together on this board, but I just want you to, for now, if you don't, nothing comes to you right now, that's okay. You're going to have lots of time still to think about it. But I want you to think about it because it affirms and it also helps us as a church to see and understand, what does it look like? What does that really look like for God's love to overflow more and more? And so, I know they're small because I wanted short answers. So imagine, use your imagination. May God sanctify our imagination. Use your imagination now. Ask yourself, what would it look like to see God's love overflow more and more in our connecting with one another. Maybe it's affirming something that's happening, or maybe there's something new and fresh that God wants to call into existence through this small expression of you writing it down. Imagine, what would it take? What would it look like to see God's love overflow more and more in our connecting with one another? Hold on to that thought, and let's move on to grow. God growing us in our relationship with Christ is really what grow is about. It's about spiritual maturity. It's about walking and knowing what it means to follow, to live as a follower of Christ. Maturing in that relationship, taking on more and more of his characteristics. Got some pictures here too, because it's kind of hard to picture grow. But really grow, a big part of grow is really our gathering together in our worship times. When we gather together and read scripture and pray and worship and music and listen to the word and the teaching through our Q&A and those times, a lot of growth. Seeds are planted, seeds are nurtured, there's encouragement. A lot of growth takes place in this context. Some more pictures from some of our worship gatherings. Because in worship, our belief is very strongly that we are making space for God to move in our lives. This isn't the only place that God works, but this is a time and a place where we make space for God to move. We give him permission. We are invited in worship. We are invited to learn. We're invited to be encouraged. Sometimes it looks like the prayer corner, just the moments that we take to be prayed for. Again, that's all about growth. Telling and hearing the stories. It includes our kids as well, and just whether it's the youngest and being caring for them, or even the other kids who are part of the Zoom program, or even our youth, whether it's here on Sundays or whether it's on Wednesday nights, just a picture. It's growth is really about nurturing, caring, finding a space where God's love becomes real and people grow in their relationship with Christ. Another picture there, just kind of from the back. But again, it's kind of tough to picture growth, but yet I believe that it is really about making space for Christ to move and to teach us and to mature us in him. And so again, I'm going to ask you this question. What would it look like? Imagine. Use your imagination. What would it look like to see God's love overflow more and more in the growing of our relationship with Christ? What would it look like to you? God's love overflowing more and more. Remember, in knowledge and in understanding. This is part of the understanding. What would it look like to see his love overflow more and more in the growing of our relationship with Christ? That would be the green tab, in case you weren't sure. And moving on, we're going to come back to those, is serve. Another pillar of our church, practical expressions of love, bearing witness to our faith in Christ in word and deed. Generously welcoming and serving. One of the expressions that we've had and that we've experienced over a number of years is the Elm Road barbecues. Again, an opportunity to serve, to care, and just to minister and to be Christ in the midst of a community of under-resourced people, but also just serving them with love. Our food drive is another expression that we've had opportunity to share in and live out, an opportunity just to serve and be hospitable to the churches in our community, but also to see that it's an outreach, serving with food. I don't have a picture of it, but I think you've seen it or heard about it. Fireworks and just kind of that space as well. Just creating a space for people to come together and celebrate. Our March break day camp. This is the food trail here. And just kind of an opportunity to serve kids in our community. And I mean, it was great that we were able to do that again this year. And again, just another pictures of some of these expressions. That's serve. That's practically supporting as well, being engaged in ministry. So it's takes a look in other ways as well. Today we have our coat drive. If you brought some coats, or you can still do that next Sunday as well. Practical expressions of service, of generosity. In terms of international mission, oh, there's another picture of Serve the Board as they gather together. They're offering their lives in service as well. And the board is saying, quick, move to the next slide, move to the next slide, move to the next slide. Our community basketball drop-in, just again, something that we've been able to start this year, is just again, it's a practical, simple, but an opportunity to connect with people and to just be there, be present as Christians. In terms of international mission, identifying God, what God has been doing. Oh, there's one. Oh, I missed it. Oh, I had a great picture of the Peck family up on the screen doing their interview thing. Because that, for us as well as a church, is an important expression of mission and service, being able to connect with what's on people's hearts in our church, and then to release them and enable them and be a part of that, of them serving and enabling them in service. So sorry, guys, I had a great picture. It was up. Somehow it got lost. It's probably buried underneath one of these. So imagine with this third tab, the green or the orange tab. Imagine, what would it look like to see God's love overflow more and more in service, in serving our community and beyond into all the world? What would that look like? And so there I have all three questions. You know, I believe our lives, the life of our church, at any given stage, is a blank sheet. It's blank. What it takes is the Holy Spirit giving each one of us a sanctified imagination, being willing to ask the question, what does it look like to see God's love overflow more and more in terms of connecting, growing, serving? I'm going to invite you to come now and just share by putting down your tabs on this blank page. And just put them there. And then we're going to pray. And that's going to be, I might share a couple of them, but don't worry about that. I'm not going to put any names to them because I don't know the names. But I want you to come as an act of dedication, an act of expectation of what God will do. Because we join in with the prayer. And I'm going to go back to it, all the way back to the beginning. Probably a way to do this that I don't know, but oh, there it is. I pray that your love, God's love, our love among each other, would overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure, blameless lives till the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Christ Jesus. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Imagine. God, I thank you for these expressions of your love overflowing more and more in our lives, knowledge and understanding. I pray, O God, that you would continue to affirm your word in our hearts. Encourage us, O God, and remind us that you have started this good work and that you will carry it to completion in each and every one of us. And so with each one of these tabs, each one of these sticky notes, they represent a desire that you have put in our hearts, a longing in our hearts. We pray, O God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would bring these things into fruition. God, help us to shape the plans and the strategies and the timing and all these things, O God, that truly your love would spill out, spill out of this place into our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.